So Jiva Goswami's been talking about the Preeti, which has many varieties. So we cover all these different stages from Rati all the way up to Prema, Pranaya, Mahan, Sneha, Raga, Anuraga, and Mahabhava. So that's the intensity of the Prema. And it also manifests on different levels according to the type of bhakti in that Prema. So one level we have is called Samanya Bhakti. So this is Preeti with respect, pure respect, but no particular bhava as a protector, object of service, or parent. It's a very generalist type of, it's not even dasya. It's just a kind of general respect for the Lord. That's called Samanya Bhakti. And this is an example in the 10th canto. The men and women of Andarta, Danva, Kuru Jungala, Kanka, Matsya, Panchala, Kunti, Madhu, Kekaya, Kosala, Arna, and many other kingdoms drank with their eyes the nectarian beauty of Lord Krishna's lotus face, which was graced with general smiles and affectionate glances. These are people that never saw Krishna before. General public, I mean, just have attraction to Krishna in general, but no particular dasya or anything. So, when the devotee approaches Krishna with different types of love, Krishna responds differently and he appears differently for different types of devotee. So he can be the master, the friend, the son, the lover, according to how you approach the Lord. So that the general one is very general, Samanya Bhakti, and then we have something called Shanta, which means peaceful. Sometimes we may think, well, Shanta Bhakta, that's more like impersonalism, but actually they appreciate the Lord. So it's superior to the Samanya Bhaktas, actually, who are very general. At least there's a particular bhava involved here. So they appreciate the Lord as being very compassionate. He gives bliss. So, of course, the Lord has two components. That is the impersonal component, Brahman, and then he is Bhagavan. And in the Shanta Bhakta, though he recognizes the Lord and he has this affection for the Lord, there's a prominence of this Brahman feature. When he sees the Lord, he likes to think of him as Brahman. So this is, creates the peaceful effect. So there's no possessiveness. We saw that Prema indicated possessiveness of the Lord. Krishna's mine. But he doesn't have a very definite relationship, something like Samanya Bhakti. But he has a little bit better relationship, but no possessiveness. So the deficient in the cause of the bhakti is not possessiveness. And the effect is remembrance of Bhagavan and occasional seeing the Lord. But what's the deficiency? No service. So he sees the Lord, meditates on the Lord, remembers the Lord. It's not very active. So Prabhupada calls this the neutral rasa. Not very active. So in this rasa, or this state of, even before it's rasa, even the type of asthayi bhava, the Lord is compassionate and he gives bliss to them. And so they understand the Lord is merciful. So he is personal, in spite of the fact that they appreciate Brahman, but he's also personal. He gives, nourishes them, he's compassionate. But we'd say it's mixed, it's kind of a mixed relationship. So an example of this is the Kumaras who preach Jnana, basically. But they're also devotees of the Lord. Because it's kind of a mixture of Brahman with their realization, therefore it becomes Shanta. So, prominence of Brahman realization, even though they recognize Bhagavan. So Samanya devotees are not really interested in the Brahman aspect. So they recognize Bhagavan, but no particular identity as such. So that's a little bit of a difference. So then we have those who understand the Lord is very compassionate, and that he gives service to the devotee. So this is a little more active. They understand the Lord is giving service to the person. Huh? So there's different types in this bhakti, which we can call dasya, in one sense, in all type of servitude. And the people are servants, but there's different types. So some are like the, you feel protected by the Lord. That's called the palya. I'm protected by the Lord. So the people of Dwarka see Krishna as their protector. So therefore, the Lord is a shelter for these people. Another is they identify themselves as a servant, which is slight. Of course, if you're a servant, you're also protected. But the idea is they like to serve. And we have persons like Daruka, who was the servant of Krishna in Dwarka. And he admires Krishna, and he wants to serve him all the time. Another type of devotee is called the Lalya, being cared for. So this is his children in Dwarka. Krishna cares for his children. So the relationship of the child with Krishna, he's kind of like Dasya. He's superior, etc. But it's a little bit different because he's the father and they're the children. So it's called Lalya. And even with his younger brothers even with the other persons, they're the sons and then their brothers and whatever. It's a caring relationship. So, and these the children are very modest. They're humble in front of the Supreme Lord, in front of Krishna. So these different types within this, what we call the Dasya Bhav. Those who feel protected, those who are servants, those who feel Krishna is their father. And then we have Vatsalya. This is a reverse type of relationship. In this relationship, the Lord is compassionate. In the Vatsalya relationship, the devotee is compassionate to Krishna. And Krishna is the protected one. So it's a little bit of a reversal of the relationship. Parental relationship. And then we get Maitri, friendship relationship. Within a mood of equality. In other words, equal in the sense that the qualities are equal. I have qualities of sweetness, Krishna has qualities of sweetness. And therefore I can take shelter of him with great affection. There's something called the Sukrit or Saukrit, which means that one likes to help the friend in all cases, a good helper. And so that type of friendship is there. And that manifests in Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Draupadi. They mutually help each other. And then we have Sakya, which is like intimate friendship. We see that in Arjuna and in Sri Dama, friendship. So there's a slight difference there between the Saukrit and the Sakya. And then we have Kanta Bhav, which we call Madhurya Bhav, conjugal relationship. So there the devotee thinks of Krishna as a lover, and one takes a female body. It's called Priyata Rasa in or Priyata Mood Bhava in the Nectar of Devotion. So that means being a lover. Priya means lover, and Priyata means in the position of a mood of a lover. Okay, so in that mood, one always tries to please the beloved, that is Krishna. And that one thinks of Krishna's happiness rather than one's own happiness. But then automatically one becomes happy when Krishna's happy. So And then Krishna is merciful because of the purity of that love. So Krishna, by nature, is also called Atmarama. He doesn't need anybody. But, remarkably, he becomes the lover of the gopis, or the lover of the queens of Dwarka, and he falls under their control. He's supposed to be independent, but he gets controlled. So this Kantabhava is considered to be the supreme among the different types of priti. Then we get mixed relationships. So Bhishma had Asraya Bhakti, a type of dasya, taking shelter of the Lord, and then Jnana Bhakti, some like a Shanta almost. Yudhisthira has Vatsalya, parental. He's a little older than Krishna, so he thinks of him as a childlike. And Asraya Bhakti, again, is the type of dasya. And then Sulhrit, assistant to helping Krishna. Bhima had prominently Sakya, which is equal relationship, very friendly, but also Sulhrit, the helping attitude. Kunti has Vatsalya, but then she also has Dasya mixed into it, Asraya Bhakti. Vasudevaki have Samanya Bhakti, is a general bhakti, with Vatsalya and some Asraya Bhakti. So we have some devotees that have mixtures of these different bhavas. Uddhava has Sakya, friendship, in his Dasya. So it's prominently Dasya with a little Sakya. So therefore he's quite intimate with Krishna. Balaram has Sakya, Vatsalya, and Dasya. Mixture. The queens have this Kantabhava, Madhurya, but this Dasya mixed in it also. The gopis of Vrindavan have this Madhurya Rasa with a little bit of Sakya. So quite equal and intimate with Krishna. So there's a great variety of moods in relationship to the Lord. These, of course, with Krishna. We'll not find such great variety with other forms of the Lord. But we'll find all of these in Krishna. So, when we find these different relationships, bhavas, and according to the bhava, they're of different intensities. So the jnani bhaktas and the samanya priti, the general ones, it's rati, that's the first level, bhava. They don't have a possessiveness of the Lord. They feel bliss, and they think of the Lord as the blissful person, has some compassion, etc. Then we have among the people with dasya, the palyas, like the people who are protected by the Lord. So they have possessiveness. This is, the palyas are like the children of Krishna and Dwarka. So they get up to prema, but they don't get further than prema, because they take the Lord as master also. If we come to the servants of the Lord, those who are serving, they can get up to raga, which is here we see that. Where is that? Here. Oops. Okay. Oops. It's not showing up. Doesn't work. And highlighter? No. Pen? Laser pointer. Okay, we got. Okay, here we go. So the servants get up this far. We have these different stages here. Rati, prema. And what do we got there? We get up to here, up to raga. It goes all the way up to raga here. And we got man and sneha and pranaya here. So the servant gets up. Some of them get up this high. The sons, the palya, get up to here sometimes. And we get the lalyas. Oh, this is the lalyas get up this far, okay? And Vatsalya, extreme raga. That's Nanda and Yasoda. So they're quite exalted. So in the, let's explain that in the first part of the 10th canto, we find that when this description of Krishna's childhood pastimes, then Yasoda gets glorified as the greatest devotee by Sukadev. So she is very great. She's almost at the top there, top of Raga. Sakya also, it gets quite far. This is the beginning of Raga. So here's Sakya here. It gets up this far here. This one definitely has Pranaya in it down here. And it gets up to some Sneha also. So we find various types of persons reach various levels. The Suhrits don't get so far. It looks like they only get up to Prema. They're another type of friend. The people that aid Krishna, but then those who are Sakya have a very intense love that gets almost up to Raga, and gets up to Sneha. Pranay and Mana. Pranay is that very intimate feeling, intimate affection, confidence. And Man means that expression of anger and pride. This comes in the male friends and in Madhurya Rasa. So we can get it in Sakya Bhava to some degree. And we can also get these ones, the Man and the Pranaya, in the women in Madhurya Rasa and in some Sakya. So, but the queens get up to Anuraga and the gopis get up to Mahabhava. So in other words, the gopis get the most intense love of all. And the others are a little bit less than that. So even the queens of Dwarka with Madhurya Rasa get less. So what is the cause of the devotee developing these different moods? It depends on the worship that we do when we're doing sadhana. So you worship the Lord as your protector, or as the friend, or as the lover, then you develop that bhava. So in other words, the sadhana leads to the goal. According, in other words, if you do dasya bhakti, don't expect to become a gopi. It won't happen. Dasya will lead to becoming a servant of the Lord. If you treat the Lord as a friend, then you develop love and you become a cowherd boy or something like that. So in other words, if we identify the Lord in a certain way, then we take up a certain mood in relation to that, and that's what we attain. And what causes that? The cause is association with the devotees that have a certain mood. So, if we associate with devotees who are all in Sakya Rasa, then we are more likely to get Sakya Bhava, because we'll start going that direction. In our Sampradaya, basically, is Madhurya Bhava. So that's why we have Radha Krishna deities in all the temples. So then it's expected that all the devotees there will more or less have this aspiration for Madhurya Bhava, and they will practice like that, and they will attain that mood. So, and get influenced by another devotee with a particular manifestation of the Lord, and then we develop our identity as a servant of that as in different rasas, and then we get our possessiveness and whatever after that, and then we get the preeti, and the Lord becomes attracted to the devotee for his particular type of love, and then he helps him become attain his particular body as a son, or as a lover, or as a parent, or whatever. So that's the natural progression. So, we have these different identities as as the general bhakti, then you're a shanta, and then you're a servant, and then a friend, or vatsalya, madhurya. And they have we have different possessivenesses of the Lord. It gradually increases as we go up to Madhurya. That's the most possessive of all. And there's two varieties, Aishvarya and Madhurya. So the Madhurya is in relation to Krishna in Vrindavan. And Aishvarya, of course, we have in other forms of the Lord also. But even the Aishwarya reaches its highest peak in Krishna. And we can have all these different levels within Aishwarya or in Madhurya. So you could have Madhurya Rasa with Aishwarya, Madhurya Rasa with Madhurya, or Vatsalya with Aishwarya, and Vatsalya with Madhurya. So basically in Vrindavan, it's all Madhurya. If you go to Mathura and Dwarka, it's filled with Aishwarya. So you could be a servant, you could be a friend, you could be a parent, you can have Madhurya Rasa and Dwarka, but Aishwarya mood is there. Power. Well, yeah, it can be both, but Aishwarya, we often say opulence. Opulence means wealth, actually. But when we talk about Aishwarya mood of Narayan, it's not this wealth, it's the powerful, regal, royal figure, you know, and we worship him with reverence. So it's basically a reverential mood, seeing the Lord is all-powerful. So we see Vishnu is all-powerful with his forearms and his club and his chakra, etc. Like a king. Huh? Majestic. Yeah, majestic. Yeah. Regal, also Aishwarya. So, Gokula is the place where you can realize the sweetness of Krishna. There may be a temporary realization of Krishna's Aishwarya, but it goes away very quickly. So sometimes the people would say, oh yeah, Krishna's Supreme Lord and whatever, but then they forget about it immediately. It disappears. So, in Vrindavan then, we get the highest Madhurya there. Yeah? And then we get intensities there. So we get the servants, and more intense is the friends, more intense is the parents, more intense are the gopis, and of all the gopis, then Radha has got the most intense form of love. Okay? That's why we have Radha and Krishna in our temples. Of course, Radha is, her name isn't even mentioned directly in the Bhagavatam. Okay? Sukadeva keeps it secret, but then we have this famous verse, Anaya Aradito. Yeah. Yeah. So, Krishna was worshipped Aradita by Anaya, a certain gopi. Yeah. So, this refers to Radha. Radha, of course, means one who worships. So this is during the Rasa Lila. This description is given. So one particular gopi was worshipping Krishna. And this is the gopi that Krishna went off with from the other gopis. He disappeared and he went off into the forest. And all the other gopis were left. Where is Krishna? And it was with this Radha. So we find these different things, like Rati and Prema, etc. So these are called the, it becomes the Stai Bhava. It can be Sakya or whatever. That means the basic, the foundational mood that a devotee will have. It could be Sakya, friendly, it could be parental or whatever. So that's called the Stai Bhava, the fixed Bhava. And then this mixes the Stai Bhava, mixes with other elements, as Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, and Vyabhachari Bhava, and then it becomes Rasa. So the Stai Bhava, or like we say, Rati or whatever, mixes, and then it becomes Rasa. So it's not by itself, but it's combination. So we get these different elements. So these actually are described in detail in the Nectar Devotion also, in the second wave, or second southern section of the Nectar Devotion. So, the Stai Bhava manifests in Bhava stage, and then it mixes with these other elements and it becomes Rasa. So, what is Vibhava? This is one of the elements here, the first one, the gray one there. This one here. This guy, oops, doesn't work. Doesn't work, anyway. This one here, Vibhava, the gray one. And what is it? In order to have your Stai Bhava even, You need two things, alambana and udipana. What is alambana? Alambana means there has to be the object of love, Krishna, and there has to be a devotee. Obviously, we can't have a rasa without two people involved. So we have the asraya, or the devotee, and we have vishaya, Krishna. That's called the alambana. And then udipana means within Krishna, there will be stimulation of things. His qualities, his caste, that is his, he's a cowherd boy, his actions, paraphernalia, like his ornaments, his weapons, instruments, places, marks on his feet, associates, devotees, tulsi, whatever, and his age, Kaishor age, or Komar age, or whatever. These are called udipanas. And when you see the footprint of Krishna, or you see the tulsi, then you start getting a feeling of love for Krishna. Or you see his cloth, or you see his smile, or whatever, like these are all udipanas. So there's something in the object of love which stimulates it. So this will establish the, make the sthayi brava very, very strong. So we have that element, the first element. Then we have anubhavas, there, second element. Actions. So, if you have a relationship of love, even in the material world, how do you express the love? By actions. We can call it service also. So how does Mother Yasoda express her love for Krishna? Actions. What actions? She may cook for Krishna. Or Radha may cook for Krishna. Yasoda may bathe Krishna in the morning, and then decorate him, put all the tilak on and ornaments, etc. So these are called anubhavas, actions, which are actually meant to please the Lord. Some of them, of course, can be called more or less general type of anubhavas. Some are more particular for particular rasas. Sometimes the sattvika bhavas are included within this. For instance, we find here, sattvika bhavas after anubhavas. So sometimes they're included in the anubhavas, and the reason is they manifest externally. But they are not conscious, whereas the anubhavas usually are conscious. Cooking means we're thinking about, okay, I'm going to please Krishna by boiling some milk. It's anubhava. So there's a conscious element there also. Here's the udbhasparas, which are the general ones. Dancing, rolling on the ground, singing, shouting, stretching the body, bellowing, yawning, breathing heavily, disregarding others, drooling, laughing loudly, whirling around in hiccups. These are taken from material rasa shastra. And they will express certain things. So, what are the sattvika bhavas? Internal. A great emotion causes internal disturbance, and then it manifests externally as paralysis, can't do anything, perspiration, hair standing on end, choking of voice, trembling, changing color, tears, and fainting. These are called sattvika bhavas. So there's no, it's external, we can see it all happening, but there, it's not intentionally done. It just happens because of the great emotion. So these are also part of the experience of love. Probably you can think of it in terms of when they make a drama play or a movie or anything. So we have characters. Hardly ever will have one person. Usually it's one person plus something. Unless it's a monologue or something. Maybe it's one person. But then he's talking to somebody usually in that also. But usually it's more than one person. So we have a main person with another person. And then they have a relationship. It may be a love relationship. It may be a hate relationship or whatever. We don't know. But there's some rasa going on there between the two parties. How do they, if it's a love relationship, how do they express that love? So then they do actions, and that constitutes a drama. Well, one person doing something, another person doing something. These are the anubhavas. And then we have intense emotions. So how do we know they have feelings? So in distress, what will they do? They cry. What do? In fear, they tremble. So the actor will have to portray different feelings, and they'll come out as, some of them will come out as Satika Bhavas. It's not that the person's trying to say, I'm going to tremble, but out of fear they'll tremble, etc. So the actor tries to show his intense emotions by these Satika Bhavas. And we have Sanchari Bhavas. These are minor emotions that will manifest and disappear using words. You can understand them by the words that are spoken, by the eyebrow movements, other bodily gestures, etc. And they're often against the Sthayi Bhava. So the Sthayi Bhava is usually positive, a loving relationship. And the Sanchari Bhava will be a little negative, with, let's say, like fear. In a love relationship, and there's a little fear, or there's jealousy, or there's anger. So that acts against the main Sthayi Bhava, and causes a little interruption there. So we actually have 33 of those bhavas. These are the whole list, so I won't go into them, but whole list of these bhavas, which are each one is analyzed in detail in the Nectar Devotion, and it gives examples for each one, with each rasa. Actually, it goes through each rasa and just shows how someone in Sakya rasa may have epilepsy or self-disgust, remorse, thinking oneself unqualified, dānya, being very humble, being very weak, etc. And some of the rasas won't display some of these vyabhacharya bhavas, and other ones will show different ones. Anyway, there's minor emotions. So this is actually where an actor can show his skill, actor, actress, by showing these little minor things. Somehow they can convey jealousy by the words and by the eye movements or something, or the tone of their voice or something like that. They don't have to say, I'm jealous, but they can do it through their, the way they act. So a lot of these, vyabhacharya bhavas are which make the actor a good actor, because he can display all these little minor emotions that come and go as he's speaking or whatever. So same in the spiritual world. The relationships of love are there, but then we have these minor things happening, minor emotions appearing sometimes among the devotees there. And this adds a color to the main emotion, the Sthayi Bhava. So all the elements mix together, and then we get rasa. The five elements of Sthayi Bhava, the Anubhava, the Vyabhacharya Bhava, the Sattvika Bhava. And what was the other one? All five elements mix together, the Vibhava, and they mix together, and we get rasas. So we get shanta, what we call Jnana Bhakti. We get dasya, or Bhakti-maya rasa. We get Vatsala, the parental rasa. We get Sakya, or Maitri. And we get Madhurya, or Ujjwala. These are the primary rasas, the positive aspects, by mixing all the elements together. So therefore we get out of that Shanta Bhava, or the Jnana-maya Bhakti, we get the Shanta Rasa. When we have the devotee, we have the Lord, and then they may have Sattvika Bhavas, Vyabhacharya Bhavas, etc., Anubhavas, etc., it becomes Rasa. So, who is the Alambana? Who is that Vishaya, the object of love? Forearm Bhagavan, that is a Vishnu form. And he reminds him of Supreme Brahman. And we got the Jnani Bhaktas, the people who have a little bit of mixture of Jnana into their bhakti. They become the devotees. What are the stimuli for this rasa? The Lord's qualities, actions, and objects. The qualities of the Lord that excite this rasa are the Lord's limbs, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. The Lord always being situated in Sarup, his position is Bhagavan, position is Paramatma, prominence of Vidya Shakti, his all-pervading nature, his ability to give liberation to demons. So they're not the most intimate types of qualities or stimuli. the more philosophical type of qualities of the Lord that stimulate people with Shantarasa. And he has anubhavas. What are his anubhavas? He praises the Lord's qualities. He utters names about Parabrahman, Paramatma, very general names. He'll criticize the happiness of Brahman in favor of Bhagavan. So that's what makes him into a devotee, and he has a rasa. But they will also act like avadutas, you know, very detached persons, showing the jnana mudra, whatever, and looking at the tip of the nose like a yogi, whatever like that. So the mixture of jnana. And the Vyabhachari bhavas are nirveda, and dritti, harsha, mati, smriti, vishad, utsuka, vega, vitarka, etc. Some of the Vyabhachari bhavas show up. So bhakti mai rasa, this is the dasya aspect, in which we have the protector, the Lord, and the devotee is protected. So Krishna again is the main object of love, the protector, and we have the persons protected, like in Mathura and Dwarka. The citizens there are under the protection of the Lord, and they see him as Supreme Lord with some, with human elements manifested quite nicely. The people of Vrindavan don't see the lordly elements. They see him in his human form, with sweetness. But they can be dasya in Vrindavan also. We have servants of Krishna in Vrindavan as well. And then those servants feel, I'm protected by Krishna. So, we have some external devotees, and we have internal devotees. External, I suppose, is the rulers of the world, like the Devatas, and we have the internal devotees, like the kings imprisoned by Jarasandha. They feel protected by Krishna. The inhabitants of Dwarka and Mathura, and the general inhabitants of Vrindavan, who don't have any very, you know, strong relationship with Krishna. What are the udipanas for this rasa? Qualities of the Lord. He's Bhagavan, the seed of the avatars. He attracts the Atmaramas. He gives bhava to a great devotee, of a great devotee to Putana. In other words, he delivers Putana. Simply because she dressed up like a gopi. And his cowherd boy aspects. He's an ocean of mercy, protector of those who take shelter, possessor of inconceivable great shakti, most worshipable, omniscient, fixed in his vows, prosperous, forgiving, gentle, and truthful. So these are, again, not so personal, you see, because they are dasya, so more general type of qualities of the Lord, which stimulate the love. And the anubhavas, they live near the Lord, they sing his names and qualities, filled with his influence, and also things previously mentioned in Shantarasa, the different anubhavas, similar. And they have Vyabhachari bhavas like Harsha, which means joy, Garva, which means pride, Dritti, which means patience when meeting the Lord. And then they may feel tiredness or klama and sickness in separation from the Lord. So these are the people in Dasya. So, here we get separation and union. And in separation, we never met the Lord before. That's called pratama aprapti. And separation after meeting, viyoga. And union, a first meeting is called siddhi. Never met him before and you meet Krishna as a servant. It's called siddhi. And you meet, you separate again, and then you meet again. It's called tushti. These are technical terms, also used in the nature of devotion. So this actually was, I said, a type of dasya, but it actually asraya bhakti, called asraya bhakti. The other one is identifying as a servant, master and servant, which is we call dasya. And here Krishna is the object of worship. As a master, and he has, the devotees are servants who take care of his body. They may be attendants or followers, or they may be servants. So the servants are the, let's say, least intimate, attendants, a little more personal, and those who tend to his body directly, like giving him massage, etc., or feeding him, etc., they're the dearest of all, of the Dasya Bhaktas. And this is a type of like Dasya, that's the, Krishna acts as the father, and the children act as his sons. This is in Dwarka, of course, because in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't have any sons, but in Dwarka he has sons. So it's not Vatsalya, because Vatsalya means the devotee superior to the Lord. Here, Krishna's superior and the children are there. So that's called Prasraya Bhakti Rasa, father and son relation. In Nectar Devotion, it's called Gaurava Rasa. He may be a father in a very general sense, like Vishnu produces Brahma. So Brahma is the child and Vishnu was the father. And so that's one type, where he's the Supreme Lord. The other is we can find it even in Vrindavan to some extent, where the younger boys take Krishna as an elder brother. So it's a type of father-son relationship, a little bit of a father-son relationship there. Just as in Vrindavan we have the elder cowherd boys with Krishna may have like Vatsalya Rasa a little bit, because they like to take care of Krishna and he's the protector. But then Krishna takes care of the younger boys, so then that relationship is a little bit like father and son. And if the major one here is the sons in Dwarka. So they see Krishna there in Dwarka as a father, but they also see him as Supreme Lord. What are the qualities that Udipana's? Krishna glances and smiles, and then the son may feel very, very thrilled that the father has affection for him. If the child is there, then they will speak in a soft voice to Krishna, ask him questions, etc. And they act like children, nestle on his lap, etc. Vatsalya Rasa. He's analyzed Vatsalya, Vatsa, and La, Vatsalya. So give means, la means give, and child means vatsa. Give the child the breast. So it's the mother-child relationship, or the father and child relationship. So Krishna is, again, the object of love, or the alambana, vishaya. But he is the one that is cared for. And who are the devotees, or the adaras? They are the elders, such as the parents. And there's no Lord involved in this, he is the human form. So Vasudev, Devaki, and Kunti, who are not in Vrindavan, have a Vatsalya, but there's also this Asraya Bhakti, this type of Dasya is also mixed with it, which makes it less intense. So pure Vatsalya in Yasoda, and in Nanda, and the elder cowherd. People. So they have this pure Vatsalya. What are the Udipanas? And Krishna's modest, shy, has sweet speech, innocent, generosity. What are the Anubhavas? Caring for Krishna, like bathing him, decorating him, etc. These are the Anubhavas that the devotee manifests. And they give blessings to Krishna. For instance, we find this in the 10th canto. Offering blessings to the newborn child, Krishna, the wives and daughters of the cowherd men said, may you become the king of Raja and long maintain all its inhabitants. They sprinkled a mixture of turmeric, powder, oil, and water upon the birthless Supreme Lord and offered their prayers. So this is giving blessings.
So this is for Vatsalya Rasa. They may give instructions to Krishna, don't do this, don't do this. Or here's the case of Mother Yasoda says, come here and drink milk my breast. My dear darling, you must be very tired because of hunger and fatigue of playing so long. There's no need to play any longer. So I'm giving instructions to Krishna. And the parents have a special anubhav, scolding Krishna. Why are you so restless that you have eaten dirt in a solitary place? This complaint has been lodged against you by all your playmates, including your elder brother Balaram. How is this? It's chastising Krishna. Ah, this is Damodar. Yasoda grabbed the hand of Krishna, who was crying intensely because of his crime, rubbing his eyes, which were running with mascara, with his hands, and looking up at his mother with fearful glances. She made him fearful by scolding him. So, though Krishna may display powers, those who have Vatsalya Rasa won't see those powers. They'll attribute his powers to something else. So when Mother Yasoda saw the universe in Krishna's belly, she concluded it was impossible and accepted the Supreme Lord Narayana was the cause of her vision. So she said, no, there's nothing to do with Krishna. This is Narayana is causing this. Because of the intensity of the love of seeing Krishna as the child. So to see him as the Lord is a contradiction. So anytime powers are manifest, the devotee finds some other cause, and they don't think it's Krishna doing it. So that's the great power of Vatsalya. As I said, we go from Dasya to Sakita Vatsalya to Madhurya, the love becomes stronger. So Vatsalya is very strong, so always the power aspect of Krishna disappears because of that love. So, we have all the eight sattvika bhavas manifest in Vatsalya very intensely, like the quivering and choking of the voice and fainting and paralysis and tears and perspiration, change of color. They all manifest very strongly in Vatsalya. And Yasoda has another one. Milk flows from her breast. That's another sattvika bhava, which is special for Vatsalya Rasa. So there's separation also in Vatsalya Rasa, and there's also first meeting, which is called Siddhi. So the first, in the Raja pastimes, the first meeting is when Krishna is born and everybody comes to meet him. All the cowherd people meet him, so that's the first meeting. It's called Siddhi. Okay, like that. And then we have separation after meeting. Also very intense because the relationship of Vatsalya is very strong. When there's separation, the emotions are very intense. Thus intensely remembering Krishna again and again, Nanda Maharaj's mind completely attached to the Lord, felt extreme anxiety and fell silent, overcome by the strength of his love. So, and then, finally, after separation, there's meeting, it's called Tushti. This we all find in Kurukshetra, when the inhabitants of Vrindavan came there, Nanda and Yasoda came there, and then Krishna and Balaram met them. So that's an example of Tushti meeting after separation. Raising their two sons onto their seats and folding them in their arms, Nanda and fortunate Mother Yasoda forgot their sorrow. So though Krishna left Vrindavan and there was a brief meeting in Kurukshetra, Krishna actually went back to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. It's not explained directly in the Bhagavatam, but our acharyas say there's hints there, but it's explained directly in the Padma Purana. So then Krishna did go back. So it's another example of Tushti meeting after separation. And then Nanda and Yasoda were fulfilled. Maybe I should stop. Yeah, we'll do this one more. Okay, so Maitri, this is the Sakya type of relationship, friendship. Again, the subject is Krishna, another Vishaya. He's a friend. And who are the devotees? The pastimes are the devotees, are the friends. Yeah. We have Suhrits. They help each other. That's Bhima, Draupadi, and others. And we have Krishna and Dwarka, when he's a Kshatriya, the strong udipana there in friendship is heroic actions. He acts like a Kshatriya. So, Krishna has friends in Dwarka. Arjuna is there. Sri Dama Vipra and others. And then in Gokul we have Sri Dama Subal, all the cowherd boys. Those are all Sakas. Sri Dama is the one who, or Sudama in Vrindavan, is the one who came there into Dwarka. And then he was the childhood friend of Krishna from the Gurukul days. And then Krishna welcomed him there. So he has Aishwarya again mixed in it. He sees Krishna as Supreme Lord. So his Sakya is a little bit dilute. The cowherd boys in Vrindavan, there's no Aishwarya at all. It's a very strong relationship with Krishna and Sakya, or friendship. So what kind of Sakas we have? Those who are a little younger than Krishna and they want to serve him. So it looks like a little bit of Dasya is mixed in there. We have Vishala, Vrishabha, Ojavasvi, Devaprastha, and Varutapa. Those who are equal age, like pure Sakya, that's pure Sakya, they call the Priya Sakas. Sri Dama, Dama, Sudama, Vasudama, etc. Exactly equal. We have the Priyanarma Sakas. They're very intimate, and they also are related to the Madhurya Rasa of Krishna. So they carry messages between Krishna and the gopis, etc. So they're considered to be very intimate friendships, Priyanarma Sakas. And that category, we got Subal, Arjuna, not the same Arjuna. This is Vrindavan Arjuna, Gandharva, Vasanta, and Ujjwala, in that category. What are the Udipanas for friends? If Krishna shows friendliness, straightforwardness, gratitude, intelligence, learning, genius, skill, bravery, strength, compassion, etc. These are his qualities. His dress, cowherd dress, or in Dwarka, his dress is the Yadu. Included here, we have the Suhrits, those who are like his helpers. They unconditionally try to serve and help Krishna. They have conversations like right and wrong dharma, etc. And they gather together with happy moods. That's the Suhrits, that's their Anubhavas. And for the Sakas, with Anubhavas, playing in Vrindavan, singing, practicing various arts, eating, sitting, and sleeping together. These are the actions of the Sakas of Krishna in Vrindavan. So these are all explained in detail in the Bhagavatam in 10th canto. Okay. So they do a lot of playing. So playing is a devotion. It's a type of devotional service. They play various games, like ball. They have a ball game with a bat, also like cricket. Play cricket there in the spiritual world. Got a bat there. Or maybe it's baseball. I don't know, something. It's a bat and a ball anyway. They play it. And here again we have a separation. Before the meeting, there's a separation. And then after meeting, we have separation. Separation after meeting, we have, like, for instance, Arjuna lamenting Krishna's disappearance. We find in the first canto, they probably covered this already. When Krishna disappears, then the Pandavas begin lamenting. So Arjuna says, my friend, the Lord has left me. He's taking with him my great power, which astonished the Devadas. So this is lamentation, separation after having met. And then we have meeting after separation. The first time is when Krishna and the Pandavas first meet. And then, of course, we have meetings later on after separation again. So in the 15th chapter of the first canto, we see a meeting between Krishna and the Pandavas. Having pure intelligence with the minds solely on the Lord, whose portion is Narayan, by profuse bhakti with meditation on Krishna, they attained the goal unattainable by the materialists, the pure abode of the Lord with their pure bodies. So this is actually the Pandavas going to the spiritual world, and there they meet Krishna again after separating, after Krishna had disappeared. Okay, well, then there. I'll do Madhurya Rasa tomorrow. Hare Krishna. Any question?
All these different relationships, they also exist in material world.
There are similarities, yeah.
Of course, we understand that we work in that, but the exact similar mood or feelings, they do exist in the world, whether it's for friends, whether it's for out of the mind, which is my personal experience is that we are similar. Of course, these are directly the Lord, of course, we think for whether the material part is on the sorrow or temporary material matter.
Yeah, the relationships are similar, and the rasas are also similar. And then the components of rasa are also similar. So you have the udipinas, and you'll have the subject and object, and you'll have the sattvika bhavas, and the vimachari bhavas, and the anubhavas, etc. So a very great similarity. And so actually, Bharat Muni wrote a work on aesthetics, Natya Shastra. And that was for drama, but that's material. So in that, then he goes through all the rasas, and then he goes to the components, like anubhavas and vyabhachari bhavas. So that's where Rupa Goswami gets his list from. 32 vyabhachari bhavas come from Bharat Muni's work. And he's trying to, in that, his work is for drama. So how to display these relationships in a drama. So then he says, okay, you would have to depict these 33 vyabhachari bhavas, the 8 sattvika bhavas, and some anubhavas for a particular relationship like that. So then it's very similar. But, of course, object is Krishna in the spiritual world, and in the material world, in a drama, it's a man and a woman, or a man and two men, or whatever like this, or whatever, enemies or friends, or whatever. But in the spiritual world, it's all based on Krishna and the devotee. That's the big difference. And then the rasas are all spiritual. In the material world, they're all material rasas, temporary rasas.
And we have the experiences thing.
Similar.
Experience love, frustration, or joy. The experience is real. Of course, it's not connected to Krishna, but it's real.
And of course, we emphasize the 5 primary rasas, and then we have secondary rasas. In the material world, in actual life, and in dramas also, often the secondary rasas become more prominent, and they act independently of the primary rasas. So therefore we get a prominence of attraction to movies which should depict violence, virya, martial arts, fighting movies, war movies. This is all virya rasa. Or we get comedies, all the comedy. This is hasya rasa. Or we get horror films, which is a measure of ghastliness, vibhatsa rasa, and fear rasa, bionic rasa. So in this way we get the secondary rasas that become very prominent in particularly in material dramas. But it's popular with people. They get attracted to the secondary rasas rather than the primary rasas. So everything's upside down in the material world. The secondary rasas become more prominent than the primary rasas. And then among the primary rasas, The ascetics, the aestheticians like Bharat Muni, they'll put the Madhurya Rasa at the bottom. We put it at the top. The material is at the bottom because this is attraction of man and woman is the cause of Maya and this and that and whatever. And then we get up to Sakya and Dasya. And then the top one is Shanta, peacefulness. And then it goes into impersonalism. So the rasas are also reversed into which is superior and which is inferior. And then the secondary ones get more prominent than the primary ones. And they operate independently. You can have the secondary rasas without a primary relationship. In the spiritual world, there's no secondary rasas unless you have the primary rasa with Krishna. So it's a little bit reversed.
So that brings up a few interesting questions while you're saying it. I remember. Firstly, is why is it that we're attracted here in the material world more to secondary rasas than the primary rasas?
I suppose because we're not so affectionate with each other. Anarthas, I would think anarthas are very prominent. Right. It's actually people don't like anger and whatever ultimately, but.
Well, not understanding.
But, you know, they just get caught up in it, so it's very common also. And therefore, when we have movies with anger and virya and horror and violence, people get attracted to those things. So it's actually an anartha. It's not very good, actually, what is, you know, horror. Why would people want to see horror movies and all the ghastliness? But it's, you know, it's lower instincts operating there. So it's part of our anarthas, that's all. So because we've got so many anarthas, then everything gets upset. But if we had an ideal society, I would suppose that the primary rasas would dominate again. Yeah?
So it is the way to...
In other words, if there were an ideal family life, then you would automatically have Madhurya rasa and Sakya rasa and Dasya rasa manifested. Vatsalya rasa, they all manifest quite naturally within family life. But unfortunately, in you know, the world, everything gets upside down and they don't have happy family life and they get attracted to secondary things.
So I guess part of, not the whole picture, but part of the picture of becoming attracted to the primary rasas is to overcome the anarthas.
To?
Overcome the
anarthas. Oh yeah, obviously. Yeah.
But it's not the whole picture, it's part of it. So the other question I had was, you were talking about Vatsalya rasa, and I don't remember the technical terms which one applies, would you find out or the other one as well? But you were talking about how when Yasoda Mahini, when she saw the universal form in Krishna, she rejected that as being associated with Krishna because it interfered with her relationship with Krishna.
Yeah.
Yet we see with the resonance of Dwarka, Hastinapura, etc., it's the opposite. In that when they see these manifestations of Krishna, like with Arjuna, for instance, on Battlefield of Kurukshetra, the universal form, he became disturbed by that. So much so that it destroyed his
relationship. Which shows that in Vrindavan, the rasas are very strong, like Sakya and Madhurya and Vatsalya. In Dwarka, they're weaker.
So what is the makes it weaker though? Is it the
Aishvarya? It's
Aishvarya, yeah. And that's all it is.
Yeah. The Aishvarya becomes stronger, and there the sweet aspect of those rasas become weaker.
And so in Raja, it's more Madhurya, so you don't see the Aishvarya picture.
Yeah, everything is sweet. So the tendency is in Vrindavan, even if they see Krishna's powers, they don't really see him as God. So when Krishna lifts Govardhan Hill, after then Mother Yasoda says, well, yeah, Krishna did this and just describes the whole thing. He said, actually, it wasn't Krishna. Nanda Maharaj was holding it up along with Balaram, so they were doing all the work and Krishna didn't do it. Yeah? Or even the cowherd boys, you know, they see him kill demons. Okay, he killed demons. It's probably Narayan is behind all this. You know, he's the one who's doing it, not Krishna, you know, because he's just our friend. Or even Nanda Maharaj. He sees Krishna's powers when Krishna goes and rescues him from Varuna. And then he sees all the devatas offering respects to Krishna. And Namor is like, oh, he must be a supreme lord there. Then he comes back and he tells everybody this, and they say, well, they're talking like this, yeah. And then they ask to see, okay, maybe he's God, he can show us the spiritual world. So then he shows them, you know, spiritual world, and he brings them back. And then they forget about the whole thing. They say, Krishna's our son. He can't be the Supreme Lord because he's Nanda Maharaj's son. So what is this? So they forget about the whole thing because of that. So that's the attitude in Vrindavan. The primary rasas overcome the idea of Aishwarya or Krishna as God completely. And if he shows his power, they cover it up somehow.
Yeah. And then let's talk about the extraordinary elements of Krishna showing my potency, that even though they see these faces of Krishna when manifesting their potency, it just points out, like, it didn't happen.
They forget about it. When Mother Yasoda saw the universe in Krishna's mouth, then she was thinking, I better do something now and get a little spiritual, because this is not my Krishna. But then Krishna got a little worried. I want to get taken care of by Mother Yasoda. So then she began thinking, there's something wrong here. What is this strange vision I'm having? And then she thought, I'm not sleeping. I didn't have hallucinations or whatever. Maybe some asura is coming along and giving me these visions. Or maybe they're trying to attack Krishna. So then she just called the brahmanas, and she had the brahmanas chant mantras to get rid of all the demons from Krishna. That was her solution to the whole thing. And she forgot about the whole incident. Because of affection for her Krishna, then everything got covered up, and then she forgot about the whole thing. Didn't even tell anybody about it.
So that's Krishna's little shakti.
Well, we can say more it's their intense love. We can say Krishna's shakti is in love, but more it's their intense bhava, which will overcome everything. And therefore it's explained that Krishna was trying to test Mother Yasoda to see what she would do when he showed her the universal form. And then, true enough, she just forgot about the whole thing. And then so Krishna was pleased, yes, and her love is so strong, she doesn't care about my being Supreme Lord.
That they forgot about, is that their love or is that their own mind?
Well, it's more of the love. That's what Vishnu says, actually. Her love is so strong, and it was a test. So it's not that Krishna's trying to cover it up. It's her love is so strong that it won't allow it to happen.
But it seems like in some pastimes that Krishna's potencies are working.
Oh, they are.
Especially where the cowherd boys entered
the mouth. Yeah, that definitely. Krishna's saying, what's happening here? Krishna was surprised by his own energies acting independently of him. So that's what we can say, the nature of Krishna. He'll let his shaktis do things, and he even gets surprised by that. So it causes some emotion in him, astonishment, adbhuta rasa. So that's the nature of the spiritual world, that Krishna's shaktis can act almost independently, even though they're under his control. And Arjuna, he saw the universal form, then his love was not, his sakya was not so strong, so therefore he saw Krishna, and he regretted, we were eating together, we're joking together, please forgive me, because I know that you're Supreme Lord now. But that will never happen in Vrindavan.
But then, I think it's the 7th chapter or the 10th chapter, where Krishna says, under the name Arjuna. So obviously his relationship...
Among the Pandavas, but compared to the Vrajavasis, it's much less. Among the Pandavas, yes, that's a Sakya. Uddhava and him got Sakya, but Uddhava is mixed with Dasya, so he's an ideal Sakya Rasa. And it all actually were all come as Narayan also. Narayan, so they're like eternal associates in Sakya. But there's Aishwarya mixed in it, and so it's not so intense as in Vrindavan.
Sorry to keep asking questions on this, but it's kind of interesting because in the Gaurika Vyadeshtipika, it describes that Ramana Roy is a manifestation of Arjuna Gopi, Arjuna Sakya. So it seems that
it's a mixture.
These personalities are quite closely mingled. So even though we say that Arjuna doesn't have that strong Sakya Rasa.
I suppose you could say there's that Gopa, Arjuna Gopa.
Yeah.
There's Arjuna Sakhi and there's the Sakha, Arjuna Sakha. So which is like, we can say that the Arjuna in Dwarka is a expansion from him. One is the Aishwarya aspect, one is the Madhurya aspect. I suppose you could say that.
Yeah. obviously the residents from Vrindavan, they don't see Krishna as God, they see him as through a personal relationship. Is that actually the proper, would we say that's the proper way to see Krishna for devotees like us? Should we be seeing Krishna purely as a person and kind of, not let's say ignore, but kind of like, not focus on these godly qualities?
Well, that's where Raganuga leads. The Raganuga is to follow after the inhabitants of Vrindavan in their mood of treating Krishna as their friend without Aishwarya, or as the Vatsalya without, as their son without that, or Madhurya without Aishwarya. That's the path of Raganuga. In the beginning of bhakti, we do have to recognize that we are eternal Krishna Das. You know, we have philosophical sambandh again. So that's necessary for the Raganuga bhaktas as well as the Vaida bhaktas. But in Vaidhi bhakti, then you get fixed with this idea of Krishna's great, or whatever like that. So when you get to bhava and prema, then you'll continue to think of Krishna as a great person, he's the Supreme Lord. So that will interfere with that sweet mood. So then you won't get the same result, and you may go to Dwarka and become a queen in Dwarka. He could be with Madhurya Bhava, or a Sakha like Arjuna, or a Dasa, or Vatsalya like Vasudeva and Devaki, but it's less intense. And with in Vrindavan, that is very intense.
So our ultimate goal, even on that form, is basically so absorbed in love with Krishna that we don't recognize that he is the Supreme Lord.
Yeah, and the rasa of the relationship of friendship or parenthood or madhurya becomes strongest that way. And the bliss is consequently more.
And in terms of obviously Radha being the highest devotee, so I hear it spoken about sometimes that we're actually better situated as servants of Radha rather than servants of Krishna, and by serving Radha, then we give Krishna the highest pleasure in your
dharma. That's the Manjari Bhava. The Manjaris are like the servants of the gopis, and Radha particularly. So that's the position of Rupa Goswami and others. They act as the servants of Radha. They put themselves in that position. So that's for, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, that's considered to be like the, instead of being a Sakhi, as a companion of Radha, we act as the servants of Radha in Madhurya Rasa, to aid Radha in her service to Krishna. Yeah, yeah. And it's a part of Madhurya Rasa also.
Those devotees who act as the Krishna level, are they aware of their ecstatic symptoms and moods like fainting and trembling? Or it all happens, just beyond their control and happens involuntarily?
Yes, that's what the sattvika bhavas are, involuntary, like crying. It's not we try to cry, but you may just cry because of lamentation or out of joy or whatever. Or you may faint. Obviously, you cannot imitate fainting. You just faint because of the intense emotion of joy or sorrow or whatever, or fear even, or whatever like that. So these are called the sattvika bhavas, involuntary. Involuntary reactions which have gross physical manifestations of on the body, you can see them in the body. Whereas the anubhavas are more or less conscious things. We do an action, but we're thinking about, okay, I want to cook for Krishna, so you cook, so that's a conscious action. Whereas fainting is not. It's unconscious, caused by great internal disturbance due to intense emotions.
It depends on different types of bhava.
Well, they'll all manifest. We get all the five things, sattvika, vyabhachari, anubhava, manifesting in all the rasas, from shanta all the way to madhurya. But obviously, the higher rasas, we get more like in Yasoda's vatsalya rasa, then we get the eight sattvika bhavas manifesting more prominently than in the lesser rasas, like shanta, you get a few sattvika bhavas, not many, and not very intense. And then we get very intense ones in Mother Yasoda, plus the milk flowing from her breast. That's another sattvika bhava for Vatsalya Rasa. And then and with Radharani, then we'll get the highest sattvika bhavas of all. And we get madness and all sorts of things happening as well. Vibhachari bhavas and sattvika bhavas and anubhavas are all in extreme with Radharani.
highest level.
This may be discussed in the past, I'm not quite sure. So is our relationship with Krishna, is that, can anyone achieve any relationship, or is our relationship predetermined?
Well, according to this, as I said, according to how we practice as a sadhaka, first we get influenced by association, then we practice in a certain way, and then we develop a certain idea of who we like Krishna to be, as the father, or the son, or the lover, or the friend, yeah? And we develop our bhava in that direction, and then finally we realize that. So it's due to the sadhana, we get the result. We don't do the sadhana, we don't get the result.
And I suppose we'll naturally be inclined to something based on the innate disposition that we already have?
Well, we can say that, but it's a major influence is the sangha, sadhu sangha. Yeah? So who you inspires you in devotional service, then you kind of pick up his bhava, like that.
That's why we're
Well, in one sense it is, because in the spiritual world everything's eternal. And we don't know past, present, future in the spiritual world, so we can't say what's eternal or not eternal at this point. But when it's there, then it's called eternal. It is nitya-siddha. Once you realize that it's nitya-siddha, though it looks like we attained it, it's not. It just manifests. So we can say it's present in potential, and then it manifests through the practice and the mercy of Krishna. And it's nitya-siddha. Actually comes from Krishna's Shakti, which is eternal.